I was thinking of her doing it between this overview and what you're doing. She says it's pretty intense. So you need to pray about whether you think that would work well in that place. I'm just going to do a little overview. I'm not really preaching this morning. I just want to give you a little overview of something God shared with us this past week. Since this is pretty much a place where we're training end-time ministers, the Lord had given us this concept that ministers that are released in here and through here need to have these principles of safety and a solid foundation. So I just want to go over what those principles are so that you have an idea of where we're going and what we're hoping to build in you, what God wants to build in you, so that you are safe. We're living in a time where the Word says in the last days, if it were possible, even the very elect would be deceived. I don't know about you, but that scares me. That really scares me. Because the only way we aren't deceived is to know that we know that we know that we're living under safety measures with God. Because experiences, as great as they can be, may not be God. Remember I told you last week that there was a spirit that was trying to bring an anointing on me, an empowering of the words I was going to speak, a presence of God. And for some reason, it seemed peaceful, it seemed nice, and all of a sudden I went, is that really you, God? It's different, you know? And I just turned and started saying the name of Jesus out loud. Glenn screamed the name of Jesus out loud. And I came to an ability to recognize that this was not God and told it to leave. But we're seeing things that sound good. That book that I've been looking into called Heaven is Real, there are so many Christians that are reading that book and thinking this lady went to heaven 17 times and has all this revelation about God to bring back. But if those revelations don't match up with the Word of God and they seem as though they might, it's full of the Word of God, misused, misplaced. So you really need to have a strong, safe foundation. And once that foundation is strong, secure, safe, protected, God can get as wild and wacky and weird and wonderful as He wants to with experiences. And you'll know that you're safe. But you've got to know you're safe first. So these are some of the principles that He wants us to build in our life. One is our salvation being firmly planted on the truth. That repentance towards God is recognizing your condition and your helplessness, your hopelessness, and wanting God, wanting Him to take that sin out of you, knowing you can't do it yourself. And then faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, total dependency on His blood, His death paid for our sin, and that's it. It's all on Him. You don't question your salvation repeatedly based on what you did. It's on what He did. That's why it's strong and sure and can't be shaken. Then as you have received Him, so we walk in Him. We don't begin. In Galatians it says, oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect in the flesh? Same way you got saved is the same way you live, constantly knowing your inability, your weakness, and that it's depending on Christ and releasing Him. It's all Him doing it in us. Amen. This woman in the book talked about being wearied, so wearied, night after night, and that He said, I know you're weary, but it'll be over soon. And He would have her stand for 2 solid hours in one position until her legs ached. I went, no, no. God is doing it, and He gives us the grace. He's doing it in us. It isn't what we're doing. It's what He's doing in us. That's how we want to live. Salvation is the first thing you have to be firmly grounded in. How can you live the same way you got saved if you're not strong in the repentance and faith in how you got saved? The second thing is grounded in the Word of God. We have got to be grounded in the Word of God. You don't recognize counterfeit money by spending your life looking at counterfeit money.
Right.
You spend your life looking at real money, and you'll know counterfeit. You spend yourself in the Word of God, and you'll know when something isn't the Word of God. Don't be a demon chaser. Don't buy a library full of how to know demon books. If you know God, you'll automatically recognize demons.
Exactly.
You don't need to study demons.
Right.
They like you to study them. If you're very interested in them, they'll gladly come and spend some time with you,
yeah,
manifesting to you.
Oh, yeah.
You don't want that. Spend your time in the Word of God. Be strong in the Word of God. Be strong in the character of God. Through the Word, you will learn the character of God. And if something doesn't match who God is, how He feels, how He thinks, how He moves, if it doesn't match the character of God, then it isn't God.
Right.
There are certain ways that God does things. God does not come to you and say, you have sinned again, and I am so mad and so disappointed in you. That's out of character. He wouldn't do that. Even if you had sinned unto death, He'd sit by your bed holding your hand and sorry that you have to die today. But you do. You sin unto death, you die. But He's compassionate. He's merciful. And He doesn't beat us up. However, He is righteous and His laws must be obeyed or the consequences are faced. Live by prayer. Be led by the Spirit. Come under the authorities that God places in your life. This is a big one because a lot of people come under the authority as long as they agree with it. As soon as they don't agree with it, they change their mind or they change their authorities. You can't do that. You have got to. Authority is not there to dictate and to lord over you. God said, do not rule the way the Gentiles rule. Don't lord over people. Good authority will develop you and release you into freedom. They don't want to puppet you. They don't want to control you. They want to develop you and release you to freedom. But you must come under authority. Find godly authorities and be under those authorities. We're going to teach on that because God has given us some real good understanding of, He's given us some good understanding, some good pictures, some good examples of how to find the authorities in your life and the accountability partners, father figures, how the whole thing works of children under their parents, and at what point do you move out and go directly under God, and all of that. So we're going to be teaching that in more detail for you. Testing those who say they are prophets. You can't just follow everything that sounds good. You have to learn how to test those who say they're prophets. I have a whole lesson. I don't know why He hasn't let me teach it. I think there's even a date. July 8th, 06, test the prophets. I've carried this around in every notebook, every Sunday, waiting for the day He says I get to teach it to you because it's really cool. But I haven't got to do that yet. We're going to. Maybe now that we have a little bit of an outline, it'll work in right there. We're going to test them so that we know those we're following are true prophets of God and we're not being deceived by them. Living a separated lifestyle, very important to ministers that you are living a spiritual lifestyle, not a carnal lifestyle. And then there's spiritual maturity. There's a time of teaching and there's a time of training and then there's a time of testing. And someone released into ministry needs to have been taught, trained, and tested. Testing's the rough part. Sometimes we get to keep taking the test again and again and again because we keep failing it. But we need to pass those tests before we're ready. So that's basically where we're headed. That's what we're wanting to build in you. And if you have these things firmly planted in your life, you won't be deceived. You will not be deceived no matter how fantastic things look. You will be solid and strong and safe with God. So that's where we're planning to go. Do you want to go ahead and talk, or do you want to do the worship thing?
I feel like I'm supposed to
talk first.
Yep. You have your Bible. Open up to John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. Somebody want to read that out loud? Patty?
Tom?
John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24.
But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth.
There's two sides to that coin. For years, God had us in a Baptist church, and we learned a whole lot about truth. We learned a whole lot about getting into the Word of God, basing our beliefs, basing our foundations on the Word of God. There's a whole lot of solidity, a whole lot of foundation based on the Word of God. Then as He brought us into the things of the Spirit, we could check them against the Word of God. So many people through the years, when I found they were into the things of the Spirit, they seemed all wacko, and things did not seem to bear witness with the Word of God, because they did not have a foundation in the Word of God. Their foundation was in their experience. When I asked them, how do you know if something's true? They would tell me their experience, their feelings. When somebody asked me, I want to take them to the Word of God and base what I believe and what I am building my life on the Word of God. Is that what you want? Do you want truth? Do you really want truth? I guess we're having a mass exodus. Good. Genesis. It's very scriptural. Second book of the Bible is Exodus. So let's have one. Thank you, Jesus. I am so thankful. Thank you. God bless them. Thank you, Jesus. Is there any more? Go ahead, little Lloyd. You probably need it. Little Lloyd, you go get your little hugs and your love that you need. We all need that little kid life, you know, of growing up. Receiving all that. If you didn't get it as a kid, you go back there and get it. Go ahead. Okay, little Timmy? Okay. But you, little Cheryl? She's after the treats. Sounds like me. Okay. Do you want truth? I'm asking you. Because let me tell you something. We can say we want truth and we deceive ourselves. We say we want truth, but what we become is we want to do things that make us comfortable. But you see, I want truth more than being comfortable. That's what I want. I want truth even if it makes me uncomfortable. There are a lot of things that God wants to deal in you about where you're at. Now, if you're happy with where you're at, just keep doing what you're doing. Just keep believing what you're believing. Just keep living what you've been living. And if you like that, just keep doing that. Okay? But if you come here, maybe we ought to put a name over the door, a word, and it says, irritation. Because if you come here, we're going to irritate you. Because anybody that comes in my life, I am not going to let you live in deception. I am going to get in your face, and I am going to speak truth whether you like it or not. And if you don't like it, I'm not going to get out of your face, so you're going to get out of mine. I love you, and I care about you. And I don't want you to live where you are. You want so much more. But what's happened is every one of us has bought into things. You see, I was just telling somebody, I could take little David here. Come here a second, David. Come here a second, David. No? Okay. David wouldn't be a good example. Shayla. Could I borrow you a minute? Okay. Can I borrow you a minute? No? Wow. It's amazing. Good. Now I can take little Hannah here, and actually it's easier if I had like a little David, okay? Because like when I take Jackson, now Jackson is a strong-willed person. I believe God's told me he's going to be an apostle. That means he's going to be a leader of leaders. So what kind of person, what kind of spirit do you think we're dealing with? Okay? Because in the beginning, what has to happen before you can become a leader, you have to be broken and learn to be a follower. Because you can't be a good leader without being a good follower. And to be a leader of leaders, you've got to be really broken and go through a lot of things so that when you become a leader of leaders, you're not going to be a dictator and you're not going to beat them up and you're not going to force and put guilt, burden, manipulation, pressure, and all the things that the Bible says we're not supposed to do. So it's easier to deal with him when he's three. And as they get older, it gets harder to start training kids as they get older. But they can still be pliable and workable when they're teenagers. I know you think we ought to like put them in a box with a hole in it when they're teenagers and then plug the hole. And that may would work. Because I don't know how any of us made it through being a teenager. I wouldn't wish being a teenager on anybody. It's the hardest time of your life. I see more people's lives wrecked and ruined in their teenage years than ever. But what I'm saying is it's a whole lot easier even to deal with teenagers than it is to deal with adults. And I am so thankful for the teenagers and the that we have here and the things that choices I see them making. They're not perfect. I mean, the nuts don't fall too far from the tree. They can't be perfect. And they're doing their best to work with these little nuts. But you know what? It's easier to deal with them than to deal with us adults. Thank you. I want you to hear me. God wants to work in our lives. Some of y'all come here, maybe not y'all, but some people that have come here, and it's almost like, whoa, check that out. It's almost like I dare you to try to get in me. I dare you to try to bless me. I dare you to try to help me. And it's like, I care about you. I want to help you. God cares about you and wants to help you. And every now and then, one of y'all opens up a little bit and listens to some of the things that we teach, and you try taking a step in it, and you find so much happens. You're like, whoa, this is awesome, whoa! And we're going, there is so much more. You only taste it. Wouldn't you like to eat instead of nibble? Wouldn't you like to like feast instead of just eat? Wouldn't you like victory instead of defeat? Wouldn't you like to live above instead of under? Wouldn't you like light instead of darkness? Wouldn't you like truth instead of lies and deceit? Wouldn't you like victory? How about wouldn't you like life instead of existence? How about wouldn't you like Jesus instead of whatever it is you live with every day? Do you want truth? Do you really want truth? How much truth do you want? I want as much truth as you can give me without interrupting my life. Don't interrupt my belief systems. Don't interrupt my opinions. Don't make me uncomfortable. I don't want to struggle. I want everything just to be easy. But, oh yes, I want truth. Does that sound like that's the way it would go? Do you want truth? If you knew come here a second, Cecil. If Cecil knew that something was wrong, something was not true, something was against Jesus, and he knew it, I'm thinking as I'm getting to know Cecil, that I know him enough that he would say, you know, I don't want to live here. I want to break agreement with this, and I want truth. I may not know what it is. I may not know how to get there, but I'm not willing to live in a lie. I'm not willing to live in a deception. And he would be taking strides. He would be making effort to come into the truth. I think I could say that with a lot of you in here. I don't think that if he knew he was in deception, he knew he was in disobedience, he knew he was in a lie, that he would say, oh, I'd rather choose this. Would you? I'm sorry, I can't hear you. As my dad used to say, I can't hear your head rattle. What's the answer? It's either yes or no. Would you want to live in a lie? Would you want to live in a deceit? Would you want to live in darkness and error? Would you want to be an enemy of God and live opposite of the way God would want you in an area? Have a seat. Then let me explain something. But you do. In areas. We all do. We all have blind spots. That's why we need accountability partners, father figures, authorities. That's what God puts it there for us. It is a safety to help us to walk in truth. We all have blind spots. We all think we're doing truth. It's like we were talking together, and Sue said, we were praying together as a group, and Sue said, if Harvey knew that he was wrong in an area, he would quickly admit it, he would ask God to forgive him, and would ask God to show him the truth so that he could go forward in that truth. But when I am blind to something and I can't see it, what I need is, yes, I need people to speak into my life, but what I need is people to pray for me. Because if God don't remove the blinds, you talking all day ain't going to do it. It's like we tell women, it ain't going to do any good to nag him. It ain't. You're just going to prolong your agony and make him worse. What you do is you pray that God opens his eyes. Is that in the Bible? Oh, I am so glad you ask. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 1. It says, the heart of the king is in the hands of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turns your heart any way he wants. There's been things that, I don't know if you've noticed this or not, I know you all think I'm just easygoing, laid back, hardly opinionated at all, but I'm just telling you, it's not that way. I'm probably the strongest willed person you'll ever meet in your life. Okay? And there were things that I was wrong on. Y'all can't hardly believe that, but I'm just letting you know. There were things I was wrong on in my life. And I would afflict them, let's say, on Janiah. Okay? And Janiah was like, he'll never change, you know. And, Mom, who are you doing this to me? And she'd say, let's pray. Let's find out if God's real or not. Here's what the Word says. Let's pray. and they would begin to pray for me. And within a very short time, God would open my eyes. God would reveal it to me. I see it. He pulled the blinders off. Boom! I changed. And Janiyah said, "There is a God!" And it didn't come from nagging. It didn't come from people trying to get in my face. It doesn't work. You can bring something to somebody's attention, then you pray. Because if God doesn't open their eyes, they ain't going to see. And I'm going to let you know, they don't want to hear your little mouth or big mouth telling them. Just like some of y'all, at times you don't want to hear what I have to say. You may even know it's right, but you don't want to hear it. Because you want to spend one more night with the frogs. You want to keep your little hands on the steering wheel. I'm just going to keep doing it this way. I don't care. Okay, live there. But I love you too much to let you live there. I'm going to pray for you. And as God leads, I'm going to come get in your face. I'm going to speak into you. God told me He gave me a big nose so I'd stick it in other people's business. I keep asking Him, I've asked Him for years, why do I always got to be the one to say it? He puts us in a church, and that church ended up dissolving. The pastor ended up in prison for about 9 years. And God puts us in that church, brings us here, preach a meeting. And God says, there's things wrong here. I can see scripturally what's wrong. I didn't know all the facts of what was wrong, but I could see scripturally what was wrong. Principles that were being violated. There was no, the leader was not, had no, there was no accountability. He was a dictator. He was like God. And God said, what I'm going to do is I want you to teach the leadership of this church about accountability. About authority. And they said, why do I got to do it? He said, because no one else will. And I said, what do I do about the preacher? He said, I'll take him out of the way. So for 4 months, God took the preacher right out of the church. And God opened the door for me to speak into the leadership and teach them right out of the Bible about accountability, scriptural authority. Taught them all this. They're all going, yes, yes, we see it. Yes, yes. Oh, oh, thank you. Oh, yes, yes. Right in the Bible. Oh, yes, truth. We love it. And then after all that happened, God says, okay, now I'm going to bring the pastor back. Now, leadership, I want y'all to apply what you just learned to the pastor. Oh, no, we can't do that. He's God. Well, wait a minute. Did you get the truth or not? Did you get the understanding or not? And I say, God, why do I got to do this? I'd rather just leave. Let them stay there. That's where they want to live. Let them stay there. He's like, Harvey, nobody else will tell them. I designed you to interrupt people's lives. Thanks a lot, God. I don't wish to hurt you. I wish to help you. And there are simple principles that we teach every single week. And if you, as you pick up on these principles, when something you're listening and something like, oh, you get it, it's like, oh, you get it. Not like, you know, you it becomes alive to you. It's like a light bulb going off inside of you. Write it down. Write it down. And pray, God, I want this. Because He quickened it. He revealed it to you. He wants that inside of you. But the Bible says, be doers and not just hearers, deceiving your own selves. You know, it says, we hear and then we go our way and we forget. Every one of you has had some kind of, how did I wrote it in here? Every one of you has experienced some kind of freedom here, have you not? some kind of breakthrough? I'm sorry. I only heard one. The rest of you, I can't even see your head rattle. Would you answer me? Have you experienced, every one of you, some kind of breakthrough, some kind of revelation, some kind of freedom? Have you experienced that here to some degree? Do you want more?
Yes.
Then let's start this way. Turn over to Psalm 139, 23 and 24. Now, I'm going to say this in front of all the witnesses. Everybody in this room is my witness. I want you. No, I think God wants you. To take these two verses, to write them down, to memorize them, and every single day until He tells you different. And you come let me know when He tells you different, would you? You need to pray these two verses every single day. Are you ready? Are you in the Bible? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, any way that's not of you, God. And lead me into the way everlasting. Lead me into your way. Lead me into truth. Is that what you want? Do you think God wants it for you? Then could you believe that God would want you to do that every day? Now, do you want victory? Before you leave that door, I'm going to tell you who's going to get victory. The ones that just did what I said. They took those two verses, they wrote them down, and they said, I am going to do this. Not, oh, that's a good idea. I'm not throwing, this isn't a smorgasbord. If you think it's a smorgasbord, you're going to live with the results of your choices. If you let your kids go to the smorgasbord and you don't watch them, you don't hold them accountable, you know what they eat? They don't eat the green beans. They don't eat the beets. They don't eat the corn. You know what they eat? Candy and gobs of that white fluffy stuff and ice cream and sprinkles and pies and cakes and puddings. You know, all the stuff that makes for a good, healthy body. This is not a smorgasbord. If it's a smorgasbord, the wrong person has their hands on the steering wheel of your life. You have your hands on the steering wheel of your life. And I'm sorry, but you're going to wreck it. The Bible says a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Jesus said, Luke 6:46, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? John chapter 14, verses 15 to 24. Jesus said, if you love me. Oh, I love Jesus! Well, when I used to believe people when they told me they loved Jesus. And now I find that most people that tell me that, or a lot of people tell me that, are lying. How do you know they're lying? I'm really glad you asked. Romans chapter 3, verse 4 says, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. If you say something that doesn't agree with His book, you're the liar, not God. I am not going to doubt God's Word. I'm going to doubt you. Because you didn't agree with Jesus. And He's eternal truth. Are you ready? If I say something that doesn't agree with this, that's why I want to come to this. That's why I want you to put your faith in this. Not just your experiences. We want to get you into the presence of God. We want you to learn to hear from God. We want you to learn to walk with God. We want you to know the love of God. God is your Abba Father, your Daddy God. But I'm not just looking for you to have experiences. Walk out here, feel good. I'm looking to get you the truth. I'm looking to get a firm foundation in your life. I want you to be solid. I hate that you walk around in depression and defeatedness and you keep holding on to what you've always held on to. And you stay there. Is that where you want to live? If not, let go of it. And get a hold of truth. Get a hold of Jesus. Get a hold of life. And let go of the steering wheel. Quit trying to be in control. Break agreement. Right now, I break agreement with the spirit of control. God, I invite you to get that spirit. Deliver me from that spirit. I don't want it in my life at all. John chapter 14, verses 15 to 24. I was going there. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Verse 23 and 24. "He that saith he loveth me and keepeth not my commandments is a liar. He that keepeth my word, the same loveth me." It doesn't mean you're perfect. It means you're not living in deception. It means you're open. It means you're teachable. It means you're pliable. What good is clay if it gets hard? You can't do anything with Play-Doh if it gets hard. You throw away the crust, don't you? You leave the lid off the Play-Doh and the part gets hard. What good is it? Why are we hard? Why do we harden ourselves against truth? Why don't we come into agreement with what the Word says and break agreement every time? You know, when I tell you I've read this Bible from cover to cover over 75 times, Sue has too, that's what I'm saying. We didn't just, it's not just like, okay, I'm reading it through. Okay, whoa, I got another one. Put a notch in my belt. I read it through. Oh, I got another one. Put a notch in my belt. If we weren't doing that, as we read it, God said, this time when you go through, I just want to show you verses on salvation. This time when you're going through, I want to teach you how to pray the Word. Some of you, you're not even faithful in reading the Word. You're not even at a place where you can learn to pray the Word. You got to first read the Word and get that Word in you. How do I know what God wants? But if you're in the Word, you're going to find out the will of God. This is the will of God. And when you have a thought come inside of you and it doesn't bear witness in there, how do I know? I can't remember everything. You've got the Spirit of truth inside of you. And if He doesn't bear witness in here, but in here, I'm trying to figure out, then you live in a spirit of confusion. Base it on what this says, not what you see, think, or feel. What does this have to say? And by the way, can I say that, Lauren? Jesus. No, I'm not going to say it. Okay. Every day, Psalm 139, last two verses. "Search me, O God, know my heart." This is not an option. If you think it's an option, you're still in control. If you think this is an option, you're going to stay where you're at. Do you like living in deception? Do you like living under? Do you like your kids' lives all torn up in a wreck? I mean, look! I get saved. I get saved. I'm a drug dealer. I'm like the lowest of the low. I get saved. And I say, oh my. I just found Jesus. I mean, not like he was lost, but he just found me. Wow! How do I come into Jesus? How do I get more of him? That's why I flush my drugs. I'm walking around in my bedroom for an hour. I just met Jesus. I just met God. He's real. I didn't even know this. I've been in church all my life. Did everything church has told me how to do. And I went going to hell as an improved, wet sinner. That doesn't have anything to do. Okay, I just met Jesus. How do I get more of Jesus? For an hour I'm walking around. I just met God. I reach in my pocket. It's nighttime. I got saved at 5 minutes to 8 p.m. About 9 o'clock, I reach in my pocket. I pulled out my drugs. This is how I lived. This is how I lived. I looked at it. I said, wow, all this time I thought I was getting high. I just met the one you can't get higher than. Can you get higher than Jesus? Then why do you try? What's up, man? Jesus. And you can't get higher than him, so why do you try? Pull your pants up, boy. Man. I meet Jesus. This is not getting me closer to Jesus. Go in the bathroom. I don't want this. I want Jesus. Immediately, I made a decision. What are you doing with Jesus? Now! Now! I took that. I flushed them. This is all the money I had in the world. Well, maybe you should have sold it, and you know, then you could have paid some bills and... No! I don't want this! It's taking me down! I want Jesus! This is in the way! Flush! I go and open the refrigerator. It's full of beer. Everybody's on a diet. Mine was beer. See, I quit drinking when they invented the funnel. Okay. I looked in there. I pulled the door open. I said, this is spirits. You ever see these restaurants, food and spirits? They ain't lying. They ain't lying. By the way, there's 162 verses in the Bible against drinking alcohol. 162. Oh my word. What do you think? God doesn't know how to talk and he stutters? We are such slow learners. Oh, well, I just drink socially. I only drink a beer now and then. This is spirits! But it ain't no Holy Spirit! I went in the bathroom. I want Jesus! I don't want a little Jesus! I don't want some Jesus! I don't want patchwork Jesus! I want Jesus! Everything there is about Jesus. I want Jesus. Do you want Jesus? This is spirits. It ain't no Holy Spirit. Uncorked them. Poured a whole refrigerator full down the toilet. I reached in my pocket. I pulled out my cigarettes. You know, I ain't going to hell. No use smelling like I've been there. I poured them down the commode. He changed me inside. The power, the life of Jesus was available. I won't touch her. I was a newborn. And I grew further in the first hour than many Christians I've seen grow in 20 years. You get to choose. How victorious you are! How much truth do you want? How much truth are you willing to agree with? Little baby Harvey. Well, I just start making choices. I want Jesus. I don't want this. I want Jesus. I don't want that. I want Jesus. I don't want whatever. Anything that's in the way of Jesus. I don't want it. What about you? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Jesus did not come to just save you from fruit sins. Jesus came to save you from yourself. You and I are sinners. We don't have to try. We do it every day. We've got deceit. We've got selfishness. We've got lies. We've got pride. We got fear. We got hate inside of us. I thought we were just going to have a nice little church service. I just want to get some healing. You know, everybody pray for me. Tell me, we love you. God loves you. Hug, hug, hug. Oh, you're so precious. That's part of it. If that's all you want, go to a Norman Vincent Peale church. Go to some place that's all they want to tell you is what you want to hear. I want to tell you the whole counsel of God. I want to tell you the whole truth, not part of the truth. I want to see you live in victory. I want it so bad. If you only knew, I'm like, I see y'all, I hear y'all, I talk to you, I pray for you, God shows me stuff. And I'm like, Lord, how do we get them there? And He says, they have to make choices. And He says, something you're going to learn in this church, Harv? He said, you want to be like me? In Galatians chapter 5, 22 and 23, He says, the fruit of the Spirit is, one of the 9 points is, long suffering. He says, Harvey, you are going to find out what it is to be like me. And you were going to learn to be long-suffering. I thought it meant I was going to go through hard things and all this. Not any more than normal. What He meant was, I'm going to put people in your lives. I'm going to show them what I want to do with them. I'm going to show them where they are. I want to show you where they are. Of course, I'm showing them too. But He says, long-suffering, you're going to have to wait a long time while they struggle, argue, resist, fight, quench the Holy Spirit, won't listen, knuckleheads, let anything that keeps you away from church, don't you understand it's not of God? If God didn't put you here, go somewhere else. If God planted you here, why would you let anything divide you from it? Why? If God wants you here, there's a reason. You say you want truth. Are you just saying that to hear yourself talk, to make yourself feel better? What choices are you going to make in that direction? Oh, one thing about Brother Harvey, he's rude. He just talks so rough. I'm sorry. If you could learn it by somebody talking real soft, God would let you listen to somebody who talked real soft. In my house, you ever heard the principle, good cop, bad cop? Well, in my house, as the kids were growing up, we got good cop and we got bad cop. And as they were growing up, they used to beg her, please beat me before Dad gets home. Because I know I won't even feel it, you know. So please, yell at me, Mom, because when you yell, it's quieter than when Dad talks. Please, good cop. Oh, it's all the disciplines happen. Now, Dad gets home and he just rants and raves in his bedroom because Mom tells him about what happened. Did you beat him? You know, what'd you do? To tell him? I love you, and I care about you, and I want you to get delivered. I want it more than you do, because I wouldn't keep making the choices that you make to stay in your deception, in your sin, in your darkness, in your depression. I wouldn't do it. I care about you. I care about you. I love you. And as you have listened and taken a step on some of the things we've shared with you here, every one of you told me just a few minutes ago, I've experienced freedom. I've experienced breakthrough. I've experienced revelation. I've experienced God. Well, wouldn't you like more? Are you content to just nibble like a little mouse? God didn't call you to be a mouse. Psalm 34, I believe, it says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." Man, I met Jesus as this little newborn. And I immediately started making decisions with truth that He brought to me. Unfortunately, everybody makes decisions, but not everybody chooses to cooperate. Have you experienced some freedom here? Do you want more? John 8:32. Truth sets you free. 2 Corinthians 3:17, the Spirit of truth brings freedom. It says, the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Why would you want to stay bound by making agreements with spirits of stubbornness, deception, selfishness, your way, control, your hands on the steering wheel, unteachableness, not receiving instruction, fear, darkness? Do you want that? Do you want those spirits? Do you? Because you're going to reap the result of your choices. Your life is a sum total of the choices you make. Are you ready? If you don't want them, then what you need to do is break agreement with them. How about right now? Oh, I'm not just talking to hear myself talk. I'm talking to help you go forward. Do you want to go forward? I break agreement. Oh, I don't want to do this out publicly. Okay. Don't. Stay where you are. I'm letting you know. This is going to help you. I love you. I'm wanting to help you now. If I didn't think this is what God wanted to do, I wouldn't be doing it. Many times I sit there and I'm just quiet, or for long periods of time, not maybe necessarily every week. I'm not real quiet, maybe. Sometimes I have to talk because, you know, I was born deformed, 2 mouths, 1 ear. And I feel much better when I'm able to talk because it's like I'm venting. You know, I feel much better. You know what I'm saying, don't you, Simi? Yes, I knew you would. And telegraph, telephone, tell Simi. Okay, now, are you ready? Only kidding. You know I'm kidding. I know. It's because you have such a good sense of humor. I knew you'd like it. Okay, you ready? I break agreement with the spirit of stubbornness. Some of you didn't say that because you haven't broken agreement with it. I break agreement with the spirit of deception. Selfishness. Control. God, I want my hands off the steering wheel of my life. I want to turn my life over to you. I break agreement with the spirit of unteachableness. You know, not receiving instruction. I break agreement with the spirit of fear. I break agreement with a spirit of darkness. You got your Bible? Turn over to Hebrews chapter 13 and look at verses 7 and 17. We're going to read there. Hebrews 13, verses 7 and 17. By the way, you need to have a Bible. You need to be looking and knowing you're getting this from the Word of God. Not just hearing it, looking at it, thinking about what it's saying. Because that way you are going to learn to start putting your trust in what God has to say. I don't want you to become Harveyites. I want you to become Christians. I want you to have your foundation in the Word of God. The people, do you remember years ago, Jim Jones, that led all those people to Ghana? I think it was Ghana. And what was it, like hundreds of them, 800 people or something? They all ended up committing mass suicide. They were following a quote, quote, man of God. But they weren't following the Bible. They were following a man. They were man-led, not spirit-led. Everybody you see, including yourself, as a rule, we live our whole life following this logic, reasoning, what we can see, what we can think. We follow this, what we feel, our compassion. That's why when we tell you, when you go to pray for somebody, don't focus on the person. God, I'm coming in behalf of Steve, which I did this week, by the way. God, I'm coming in behalf of Steve several times, a number of times. And I want to lift Steve up to you, but I'm not going to focus on Steve because then I'll pray out of my heart. I'll pray out of my compassion. I'll pray out of my feelings. And that's not necessarily God. So God, what I'm going to do is focus on you. And I'm making myself available. If you want to say or pray something. Yes, dear. Right. God, I'm going to lay hands on Steve right now. Is there something I could use, like a stick or a club? Because I'm jealous. I want to confess my jealousy before I hit him. Yeah, he comes up to me. I go to hug him. And instead of hugging me, he grabs my arm and he puts his arm next to mine and says, I'm more tan than you. Or something like, I don't know, you know. And I'm thinking, okay, Cayman Islands. Jesus, I'm so happy for Steve. Yeah, so I am. I'm happy for you. I am. I am so thankful. I would like God to take all of you to Cayman Islands or wherever. Serious, you think I'm kidding. I am not. I am so thankful. God has so much more for you. I heard a joke one time. It's not a joke. It was a story or whatever. But I believe it's true. A man goes to heaven. I hate a lot of those jokes, you know. He's walking in heaven, you know, Peter, what do they call him? Simon Peter, what do they call him? I don't know. St. Peter, that's what they always call him, St. Peter. I hate those jokes. But this, somebody said, I remember years ago and I never forgot it because in my spirit it bore witness. You ready? Somebody goes to heaven. And they're walking, you know, an angel's taking them and they're walking down a corridor in heaven. And they look, and there's rooms on each different sides. And different things are going on in the rooms. And this one room, he notices there's this huge mound of treasures. And the man goes, well, what's that? And the angel said, oh, you don't want to know. And he kept walking, and the guy goes, no, I want to know. He goes, are you sure? He goes, yeah. And the angel says, those are the treasures God had laid up in store for you while you were on earth. But you never received them because you didn't receive them from God and you didn't walk into them. You didn't make the choices that would release those into your life. Because if you only knew what God wants for your life. And see, those treasures, you may be thinking Cayman Islands. And God will give you that too. But He wants to give you treasures that are way beyond the physical. He'll give you the physical ones too, because they're like nothing compared to the real treasures. There are times that my wife or myself has hugged you, or somebody else in this church, or your mother, or your grandmother, and you felt such love and compassion and acceptance. What is it in the physical you'd rather have that's more important than that? What's more valuable than being loved and accepted and believed in? That's a treasure. Do you understand? There is so much more. And most people live from here and from here. And God is trying to teach us how to live from here. Be Spirit-led. And there's so much God wants. And we have to keep carrying it around for years because you're not ready for it. Because you won't walk into the light that He's already given you. Do you understand? This is one of those, you know, you're going to leave here and, oh, this was a wonderful message. It made me feel so good. No. This is one of those messages that I hope you don't ever forget. I hope He puts it like a burr in your saddle. And you are eternally changed because of it. And you don't slip into, what's that word? It's not contentedness. Complacency. Well, I'm not saying I'm happy. I'm complacent. You're in deception. And I am so sorry for you. And I can't leave you there. Are you in Hebrews chapter 13? Somebody please read verse 7 out loud. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 7. Steve? Would you read verse 17 also?
Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourself, for they watch for your soul, as they have a day that must be accounted, that they may do it with joy and not with fear, for that is unprofitable for you.
I dare you to look those verses up when you leave here and meditate on them. I dare you to look those verses up and own them. I dare you. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. 1 Corinthians 16, it's the last chapter in 1 Corinthians. It's right before 2 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 16, verses 15 and 16. I am somebody read that, would you, Cecil? Patty or Tom, would you read that?
I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanus, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have
He says, who do you follow? Those that have addicted themselves to the ministry. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. I need to address, thank you for saying that, because God keeps prompting me to say this, so I'm going to say it. I was going to hold it and say it to some others, But I feel like God wants me to say it. He's about the third or fourth time now that I feel like, so I am going to say this. I tried to not say this, so I'm going to say this. I have a chart in the front of my Bible that I met this missionary back in the early 80s. His name was J.J. Ray, missionary. He printed this in 1980. Okay? And it talks about why, what version of the Bible you use. If you would like a copy of this, the reason that we use the King James and the reason that I did not just have Cecil. Cecil knows I love him. He knows I'm not, this isn't personal against him. But the reason that we use the King James Bible, for example, the NIV. There's a chart here. I want you to take it. You can't have this one. It's the only one I got. I will make you copies of it. He took 200 verses out of the New Testament. Matthew through Revelation. He took 200 verses. And he compared the top, I think it was the top 25 versions. I think that's about 20 or 25. Doesn't that look like that many? 20 or 25 without counting them all? It's about 20, 25. See, what does he say? 24. There's big words, big letters. 24 Bible versions examined. And he compared them to the original that we got the King James from. Now, let me stop there. If you want to, I've also got a got some pages in the back of my Thompson Chain Reference Bible that tell about where our English Bible came from. And there are three oldest known manuscripts that all Bibles came from. Bibles, I'm talking about Christian Bibles. Because you understand there's a satanic Bible. And there's other ones that people call Bibles. When I was a toolmaker, they had a book they called the Toolmaker's Bible, and it was just what had to do with tooling, okay? It was a big, thick book. But I'm talking about the Christian Bible. Listen to what I'm saying. Listen to what I'm saying. Those three main, oldest known manuscripts, I can't tell you what they all are. No, the Westcott and Hort's not the name of it. It's called something like Sinaiticus, and the other one's called Westcott and Hort used, okay, they used those other versions. This is what I'm saying. The other two versions, apart from what's called the Textus Receptus, which in English means the received text, the other two are held and controlled by the Catholic Church. And a lot of Bibles, quote, quote, what they call Bibles, came from those two versions. Okay? The people, you know, Baptists, I never was a Catholic because people say, well, if you're not Catholic, you're Protestant. And I say, no, because to be a Protestant means you had to be part of, God bless you, the Catholic Church, and you had to protest and come out of it in the Reformation time, which is when the Methodists and all kinds of them came, you know, the most churches, denominations that we know of. I just want you to pay attention on purpose. I'm saying this, I'm going to make it as succinctly as possible. I tried not to go here. I'm trying not to go here. But I feel like God already told me we're going to go here with some people in this room. But I want you to understand something. They took 200 verses out of the top 24 versions and compared them with the Textus Receptus, which is the oldest known manuscript that the King James and that the English Bibles came from outside of Catholic. Okay? Out of the 200 verses, For example, the NIV, 195 out of the 200 verses, and they've got every verse here, and they tell you what is wrong in that verse. Every verse here, for example, the NIV left out, are you listening to me? The virgin birth. Was Jesus just born of some girl who slept around, or was he born of a virgin? I'm sorry. Is that important or not? Because sinners have sinners. Okay? You understand? And if he had an earthly father, sin is passed through the blood of the father. The Bible says so. He did not have an earthly father. Okay? He was born of a virgin. And that's very important. He cannot be our Savior without it. They left out the blood of Jesus. Is the blood of Jesus important? They left out the deity of Christ. In other words, Jesus being God in the flesh. 195 out of 200 verses. They left out the Trinity. You see, you could take this and you could teach what the Jehovah Witness teach with this. Before 1960, the Jehovah Witness used to use God's Word. Unfortunately, when they ran into people like me who knew the Word of God, and not just people who went to church, but people who knew the Word of God, and they tried to teach their lies, someone like me would take them to Scriptures and teach them the truth. So, the Jehovah Witness in 1960 quit using the King James. They changed it, wrote their own book, and it's now called New World Translation. So 20-something years ago, almost 30 years ago, when God started bringing Jehovah Witnesses into my life, for example, and I said, God, I want to help these people, but they won't let me show them in the Bible. They want to keep using their book. They could have been using this, because you could teach what Jehovah Witness teach with this and have no problem. I said, God, they won't let me use the Bible. I said, is there any verses in their New World Translation that would still teach what you want me to teach? And he said, yes. I said, there is? He said, yeah. I blinded them so they didn't know it. I said, what are they? Isaiah 7:14, Isaiah 9:6. Because when God has had me deal with Jehovah Witnesses, he said, Harvey, all I want you to do is ask them, is Jesus God in the flesh? Are you listening? If they reject, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. He is not a truth. He is the truth. He said, he that is not with me is against me. It won't be long and they're going to be passing laws. They don't want me to say these words I'm saying. This is what's getting ready to happen in America. They're calling it hate crimes. They don't want Jesus to be the only way to heaven. They don't mind Jesus being a way to heaven, but not the way to heaven. Are you listening? So if you reject the truth, the truth, the truth, the Bible says he is, 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 and then you bring this and you want to tell me what I said is something different. Well, of course it's different from this lie. I got it out of God's Word. I didn't get it out of that. I'm not mad at you. I'm not mad at anybody. You want to keep using that the rest of your life? Go ahead. It's going to hurt you. If you don't believe me, I dare you. I dare you. No. I double dog dare you. Ask me for a copy of this. And then you go and look up those verses and you get a parallel Bible. I've got two of them at my house if you want to borrow one. And it has the King James and then three other perversions that they call Bibles. Oh, I'm sorry. Let me make that clear. Perversions. If you pervert the truth, it's not a version. It's a perversion. And they take three other perversions, man's version of what God said. It's a perversion. I'm sorry. I hope everybody gets this today, because I don't really want to have to keep pussyfooting around about this. And you look and you read the King James, and then you read the NIV. You read the King James, you read the Revised Standard Version. You read the King James, you read Bad News for Modern Man, Good News for Modern Man. Tactic.
I'm casting doubts on this.
Exactly.
That's
why, folks, every single person in here needs to have a copy of this. You need to go over it for yourself. The Bible says, let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Somebody else, when they came here, they used this non-inspired version. That's what NIV means. Non-inspired. It didn't come from God. I'm sorry. I'm just telling you. You can hate me. Don't ever come back. I'm not changing. I do my best to not say these words. I've tried to be gracious and let God, you know, I say, would you like to read? And then y'all read and I'm going, those words are strangers to my ears. What are they? I'm trying to listen. I'm trying to hear it. And I go, God, and He's like, just give them time. Just give them time. Just be kind. And I'm like, I'm being kind. But I got to say what God tells me to say. And today I kept trying to be quiet and not mention this. And then Cecil, who has no doubt in his heart, in his mind, that I love him and accept him, he was willing to read the New King James. Oh, what about the New King James, Pastor? I'm glad you asked. Oh, what about the New King James? They just leave out the these and the thous. And they don't say cometh and goeth. They say come and go, like that's hard. If that's what they do, really, well then how come every time my wife, who's a real gracious person, every time she said, God, let me look into this New King James. Let me see if they just left out these and thous. Let me see if I could use this. And every time she's tried to do that, immediately, the very first time she goes to read it, God says, turn to verse such and such. And she turns to verse such and such, and when she reads it, it doesn't bear witness in here, and God says, now look it up in my word. And when you look it up in the King James, it says something completely different. They didn't just change the these and thous. They said that so that you would buy it. And then they deceived you. Yes, dear. Yes.
A few years ago, the person who bought the Underbent book out there is a Playboy publisher.
Yep.
They got lots of juice because I was sitting in the hospital the other day and I heard these ladies talking about how much they do for the church. And all of a sudden they switched and said, well, how are you going to dress your child up for Halloween? And the Lord was sharing with me. Ask them why. And when I did that, they all, their mouths about hit the floor, and I said, no, God says you can't have two gods. You either worship me or you worship the devil. You know, and she says she worked for a Zondervan bookstore, and she said she worked in the